Father, what a moment that we can humble ourselves before you, God. To remember you, that true blessings come alone from you, God. We ask for your forgiveness, God, that as a nation we have forgotten you. We're even too proud to pray. When we're surrounded with many ills of this nation, God, challenges, we're broken as a nation. Help us to see our true condition as a country, God. We ask for your forgiveness for taking you away from our schools, our government, and our families, God. And we're so wrong to think that we can go far in our lives without you. But Lord, in your mercy and grace, you seek us. You came to seek and save that was lost, Lord Jesus. And true freedom, as we said earlier, is precious because, Lord Jesus, the freedom that you give costs your very life. You gave up your life that we may be freed from our sins. Lord, we ask, God, as a church we are gathered today, this July 7, 2019, you constantly remind us never to give up praying for America. You have given us this blessed opportunity, Lord God, even us people, to come here, to be blessed, God, and to enjoy the privileges, God, the opportunities given to us, opportunities even for the future generation, God. All these things come from you. The wisdom comes from you. The protection comes from your hand. It's not about nuclear power, but we declare that Jesus, you are our refuge as a country. We declare that Jesus, you are our firm foundation, God. When there will be threats made against us as a country, we remember that, Lord God, we call on your name, for your name is a strong tower that we, the righteous, can run to, and we are safe, O God. We choose to believe that our safety comes alone from your hand, God. Protect us as a nation, God. We pray through the power of your Spirit alone. Renew my hearts and minds, God. We have a generation that grew up not knowing you, God, when prayer and the Word of God was taken away from schools, God. We have a generation that grew up not knowing American history, God, not knowing why this nation is blessed. And that can change, God, because there are consequences of sin. We ask, Lord, in your mercy and grace, have mercy upon us as a nation. We ask, God, that you send your Spirit as you have promised, God, that in the last days you're going to pour out your Spirit, because, Lord, it takes the work of your Spirit for us to see our sins, God.
Yes, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.
Have mercy on us, God. This is our prayer, God, for you are the God who is long-suffering. And we ask that you extend mercy and grace upon us. Let your healing grace flow upon this land and use us as a church, God. And Lord, we pray that, God, may we see, Lord God, what you have intended your church to be. Never being self-centered, just thinking about ourselves, God. There's so many who need Christ. And we ask that as you build up our faith, that you would strengthen us, that we may strengthen those who are struggling. You have given us your word never to neglect the poor and the needy among us, God. May we do this, Lord God, with joy in our hearts, in serving one another, and sacrificially giving to others who need it so much, God. And above all, we pray, God, we ask that, Lord, as we wait for your second coming, which is so imminent, God, help us by your Spirit to remain strong in you, God. We need the power of your Spirit upon our lives, God. Teach us how to pray with fire and fervency, God. Help us not to give up, Lord God, to pray for others, Lord, even when we don't see the signs yet, God. And so, Lord, we pray for those who have sacrificed or are sacrificing their lives, God, to preserve the democracy of this nation, the liberty, God. We thank you for the men and women, God, who have sacrificed their lives and died for such a cause. Lord, we pray for those who are in authority. We pray for our president and everyone in the government, God. We pray for your wisdom to be upon them, strength. When there would be opposition to do the right thing, God, help them to do the right thing at all times, never quitting or giving up, God. Lord, we thank you, God, that even as a church, as we celebrate your goodness, God, help us to remember that, Lord, you have intended the church to be one, united, God, never broken. It's not about factions, not about groups, God. It's about the body of Christ, being united, doing the purpose of God. Focus on what you have called us to do. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for the many faithful brethren, God, you have brought alongside of us. The rest of the elders of this church, we are so thankful for watching over us as a church, God. And Lord, even as we commit the study of the Word of God today, we ask that you speak to our hearts, all of our hearts, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. This is a bittersweet celebration for us this Sunday. I say bittersweet because Pastor Lou and Pastor Aida should be with us today. Pastor Lou passed away this morning. I received a call from Pastor Aida. 2 weeks ago, she called me, Pastor Aida, and gave me an update of his condition. We know that at one point, over all these 10 years that he has been with us, they've been with us. We know of his health struggles. If I'm not mistaken, this was his fourth episode with the fight against cancer. But can I say this? In the study of the Word of God today, it's timely that for us to go to this portion of the Scriptures, because when we hear of a news like that of someone close to us who passes away, we are reminded of time. Time. And so, of course, we're going to remember Pastor Aida more so, and the family in prayers. And Pastor Aida told me, of course, she will notify me of, the arrangements made and the opportunity for us to pay our last respect. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So we know that for us, when we hear news like that, we are brokenhearted, of course. God understands that. When grief comes to any one of us, God perfectly understands this type of emotions that go through us. In fact, his word says that he's near to those who are brokenhearted. The presence of God. How much we need the presence of God every day and every moment of our lives. And, we choose to believe that God knows best. We were just singing about that. You see, God gives us always a fresh meaning and a new meaning of when we say, declare, God is good all the time. It's not just lip service, but he gives depth. He wants our faith to be deep, firmly rooted in God's word. We would always emphasize this because in times like this, we need the word of God. We need God's word. We need to value the word of God. The word of God says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall remain. That's why it's important for us to know what the word of God says and how God's word can strengthen our faith when there would be testings of faith and challenges. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's go to the word of God, and I'm going to say something more later on. If you have your Bibles with you and if you're able to rise up and to honor the Lord Jesus as the word of God, please turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 1. Philippians, chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. And so can I say to all God's people here in the city of Carson, gathered today, may the grace and peace be upon us from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, my God, every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Lord, we come to you today and we honor you, Lord Jesus, because you have the words of life. God, how much we need your comfort and strength and the power of your Spirit, God, to bring us, give us understanding from your word. Help us to listen and to apply your words in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Please be seated. You know, in every study, at times I would raise up a question, and I'll do that again today. What comes to your mind when you hear the word time? You might look at your clock or your watches. What time is it? How, and the next question is, how important is time to you? How important is time to you? Okay. It's a common statement or question we hear from people say, where has time gone? Where has time gone? Young parents would say this when they look at their children growing up too fast. It's like they look at the baby pictures and they look at their children now. And it's like, where has time gone? I don't know if this is a true statement for you. Life can be busy. And that we hear others say, you know, 24 hours in a day are not enough for me to accomplish what I need to do. I wish there would be more than 24 hours a day, right? But one thing we can all agree, time is precious. Time is valuable. Time is a gift from God. It's a gift from our Creator because time is something that only God has control of. I don't know how you control your time. How you and I use our time. How do we use our time? Yes, exactly. The Word of God teaches us how that we should use our time wisely. Wisely. Put a mark there in Philippians. That's our text verse. But let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is found in the Old Testament. That's after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Praise God. Ecclesiastes 3. In verse 1, let me know if you're there. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. For the purpose of time, I just selected a few portions of what is enumerated in that in this chapter, as far as there's a time for everything. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. a time to be silent, and a time to speak. Now, if you and I would jump to verse 11, there's something beautiful. We always quote this. In verse 11, God has made everything beautiful in His time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. If you have a highlighter, please highlight that. In your heart and mind, God has etched, carved one important truth. He has set eternity in our hearts, in all of our hearts. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere Him. You know, from this portion of the scriptures, there's important truth that God has set eternity in our hearts. We need to be eternally minded. We need in our hearts to know that life is not just the here and now. That there's life after death. That you and I need to be aware of this. And when God has given us today, you know, Brother Arvin said it well. I thank God that I woke up today. He recognizes that, Lord, I'm alive because of you. Because that's the truth.
That's right.
We always quote this as found in the gospel, John. We are all nothing apart from God. Yeah. We cannot boast, oh, I woke up today just because, you know, it's my own doing. No, it's God.
Hallelujah.
You and I are alive because of Christ.
Amen.
And He has given us life, and He's the one who sustains us.
Hallelujah.
Bakit po kayo may lakas? Why is it that you have strength today?
Jesus.
It's God. It might be limited, and yet He gives us that enabling power that surpasses beyond even our own natural ability. He is the source of life, and He is the source of strength. He is the source of everything that you and I need in life. And so, and it tells us here that nothing can be taken away from, because one of the names of the Lord is Jesus. He is the beginning and the end. Everything starts with God. Even if you're a goal-oriented person, you might think, oh, what will I do with my life? You might be a young graduate, or you're still in high school, you're a young person, and it's like, you know what? What does life has ahead of me? It starts with God. Never on us. Never on our own. When we begin to see that, wow, there's a God, number one, who cares for us and who wants that our lives would have meaning and purpose. Because there are some without Christ, and we know that. Without Christ, we're all lost. We're in the dark. We're in the dark, whether you will agree with that statement or not. Apart from Christ, we are lost.
Amen.
And, you know, when we read the book of Philippians, I would encourage you to read it, the entire chapter, when you go home. And, you know, when we're given assignments, I hope you do it, because it's for our sake. It's for our good. Here in the book of Philippians, we meet someone, and the name is Paul. There's so much to learn from the life of this man. He was Saul before, and he became Paul because of a special event that happened in his life. He had one day in his life that he encountered Christ. A moment in his life, a defining moment in his life. In fact, you know, before he met Jesus, he was a cocky guy. You know what cocky means? Mayabang, full of himself. You know, he has a lot. He came from an elite tribe in the nation of Israel. Pag sinabing elite ka, you're above. You're considered above the rest. Cream of the crop, they would say. Pag sinabing elite ka, talagang mataas ka. And so he had those credentials, but that totally changed when he met on the road to Damascus. He was like, You know how, you know, have you met some people? And he was like that. He was so sure. He was so sure that he was doing the right thing. You know, some people can be so sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. He thought that he was doing the right thing until that day, until that time that God has appointed, this is the day that I'm going to reveal myself to Saul. And he was never the same after that day. And can I say that everyone needs that kind of encounter with Christ? Not as a religion, but having a relationship. And, you know, some people can be religious in going to church, doing the motions of it, but never having that kind of moment, defining moment, to commit their lives and surrender their lives to Christ. That's what people need. That's what we all need. We need Jesus. We need Jesus more than ever. Whether you've received Christ a few years ago, many years ago, many things can happen in our lives that would challenge our walk with God. Many things, many things. But we're here to tell you that when you and I have that true born-again experience, a spiritual rebirth, what the Bible calls, no matter what happens in life, you and I have the guarantee that we will remain strong when we have Jesus in our lives. So there's so much to learn from this man. His life was forever changed as he encountered Christ personally. Why? Why was his life changed? He experienced, number one, the mercy of God. He experienced the grace of God. And he experienced the love of God. Why did it change him? Because he was doing horrible things. He was putting Christians to death. He hated Christians. He hated them so much, with such passion. And so on his way, that's what he was about to do. But when Jesus revealed himself and Jesus appeared as a bright light, his eyes were blinded because of that light. Strong is the light that comes from Christ, that his light is greater than the darkness hovering upon anyone's life. He's the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Why do we say he was forever changed? When he came to realize, wow, Jesus, he realized that he was in sin. And yet, God gave him mercy. When you and I would read all the letters of the Apostle Paul, there was one portion in 2 Corinthians that he says, in the meekness and gentleness of Christ. That stood out when I was reading that. Meaning to say, even when does Christ know what he was doing? He was persecuting Christians? Oh, yes. Yes. In fact, Jesus said, if anyone is persecuting you, they are persecuting me. When someone is saying things against you, they're not doing that to you in effect. They're hurting Christ. Right. When people would say things about us as a church, they're not hurting you, but they're hurting Christ. And so there he was. He realized that, Lord, wow. And so when he said, in the meekness and gentleness of Christ, meaning to say that the Lord didn't appear to him with that, whoo, power is not cascading. It's like, oh, from heaven, the heavens would open wide open, and then there would be like legions of angels, thousands of angels, and would just trumpet, and then Jesus would appear. No, he appeared to him in a very gentle and meek way. That's the way of Christ. He's gentle and he's meek. He never forces himself on any one of us. He is a gentle God.
Amen.
He waits for you and me.
Hallelujah.
You know, for us Christians, when we experience the Lord, I wish they would also experience what we're experiencing, the joy and the peace that we have in Christ. And so here we are, we become too eager beavers at times. And then we become so zealous at times that we say words that instead of kind of winning them, we come in too strong. You know what I mean?
Amen.
That at times we don't know where they're coming from. Because when we share Jesus to others, we don't like shove it in their throat and say, oh, yeah, you received Christ today. No. Our part our part is to share God's love. We might sense the urgency because, like what we are seeing now, time is so, life is fragile. We don't even know what would happen. In Pastor Lou's case, he wanted to be here today.
That's right.
He wanted to be here today. In fact, he was planning about the Israel trip. But there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. He, much as he wanted that, much as you and I would want more time, but we don't own it. We don't own time. So when the Bible says today is the day of salvation, you seize that opportunity. You seize that opportunity to make things right with God. I compel you, if there's anyone today, you might just come and go. But we are passionate about this because when eternity is hanging in the balance, we need to be serious with the things of God. We need to be serious with God.
Yes.
So because of that encounter with Christ, Paul's life totally changed. His priorities changed. Now look at Philippians 3 verse 8. We don't have the time to go over, but like again, please read the entire book of Philippians. So much to learn from the Word of God. Philippians chapter 3 verse 8. Let's start with verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, look at verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Are you there with me? Did you read it? So when the Apostle Paul is inspired by the Spirit of God, he said, I consider everything. Did you see that word? Everything. A loss compared to what? To the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. You know what? That verse is a powerful statement to be made not just by the Apostle Paul, but for anyone. For anyone who would have this encounter with the Lord. Because it's a statement, a powerful statement about values. What is important to you and me? We should raise that question at times, do our self-examination. What do you value in life? What is so precious to you? But he said, when I met Jesus, all of those things that I considered valuable before, now I consider them rubbish. In other versions, it uses the word dung. You know what? It's manure. Manure. Yeah. Like we need the poop. Dung. What happened? It's like, how would that happen when one person would value my position in society? Hello, I'm elite. I'm smart. I own $1 million home in some place. I'm famous. How is it that someone used to value those things and yet now would consider them dung, manure, rubbish, garbage na, compared to knowing Christ? Because in Christ, we see life differently. And so that's what happened to the Apostle Paul, and that is normally the case for many who come to know Jesus in a very personal and intimate way. See, the Bible tells us that when, in John chapter 3, it says, when Jesus said that a man needs to be born again, why born again? Because without Christ, you and I are spiritually dead. Without receiving Christ in our lives and receiving his finished work at the cross, you and I are spiritually dead. We are like walking dead. Why? We are just operating in the physical. We're walking. You're doing shopping. You're doing things. You're going to work. You're thinking because your soul is also that part of you. You make decisions. Oh, I'll decide to go here. I'll go on vacation there. We make plans. But without Christ, all of these are just on the surface. That part of us that is so important is dead. That's why Jesus said, you and I need to be born again. And when we receive Christ, now we are made spiritually alive. Amen. So when it says spiritual rebirth, that experience wherein something, the lamp inside of us that was once like lost, snuffed out, that lamp now has light and life. And now we begin to hear the voice of God. The ability to hear the voice of God is something that you and I you and I should value that. If you're not yet in that level wherein you can hear the voice of God, you need to spend time with the Lord. When you, as a Christian, you say that you're a Christian and you're still making decisions based on your emotions, you have not yet applied the principles from the Word of God. That when Jesus said, I am your shepherd, I'll guide you. My sheep, they know my voice. As I would always use this as experience, driving Honda for all of these years, I know the sound of a Honda engine. Even when my back is, I'm in a parking lot, and someone would turn on their cars, I hear the engine, oops, that's a Honda. 100%, when I turn, it's a Honda. Why? Because driving a Honda for that long period of time, my ears now have been trained to listen. Parents, they know the voice of the cry of their babies in the middle or being in a mall or a big crowd. I experienced that, and I saw that one time we were in a church setting. There were many people, and there was one mother in the kitchen. We were talking, and then she, oh, that's my baby. Huh, what? For me, I heard so many voices, but the voice of the baby, her child crying, stood out among the many voices. And that's what God wants us to learn. There would be so many voices around us telling us what to do. Some people might have good intentions. It might be a family member or a relative. And yet, if it's not found in the Word of God, you know, we need to test whether what they're saying is good for us. But who knows what's best for us? Only God. Only God. And so, when the Apostle Paul said this statement, he has been changed, we know that. Because what he used to value before, now he no longer considers important. And so, can I say this? Our relationship with Christ is more important than anything else. Let me say that again. Whose relationship? Our relationship with Christ. Of course, we have loved ones around us. And that's at times wherein that would be tested, whether we would, our allegiance and our loyalty will remain to Christ above anyone else. That would be another Bible study in itself. Because, let me just give you an example. In a family, probably when you are serving God, and they might not understand the passion of why you are into this. It's like Jesus is on top of the list of the things you are planning, doing. He's on top. And others might not value the same thing. And so that's why Jesus said, that's why at times, that when I come in someone's life, nagkakaroon ng division. Meaning to say, now there is this, you're weighing whether my loyalty would be to Christ number one or to other people around me first. It takes wisdom and discernment to do that. And I'm not saying that you neglect your responsibilities towards your family members. No, that's not what we're saying here. That's not what we're saying here, because in another portion of the scriptures, it tells us that if we neglect our family members, then we're worse than an unbeliever. Do you follow? But there will be moments wherein that would be tested whether our loyalty is to Christ, number one. So the Apostle Paul learned how to make use of his time in the light of eternity. Now, what did he do? In Philippians 1, we learned that he used his time to pray. He used his time to pray. And what did he do? It's a prayer of thanksgiving. Look at that in verse 3. I thank my God every time, in the NIV version, or on every occasion. I thank my God every time I remember you. Oh, that's a nice thing to say about, you know, can you imagine someone praying for you and thanking God for you? That's wonderful. And look at verse 4. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So he firmly believed. So he number one, he uses time to pray and to thank God first. And he uses time to pray for others. That's how he made use of his time. He firmly believed, the Apostle Paul firmly believed that the greatest impact he can have on someone's life is prayer. You know, have you heard some people would say, let's say they would have someone close to them and that person is in a difficult circumstance. Pagpapray lang kita, lang, may kasamang lang. When we use that word lang, it's like minimizing the value and the power of prayer. But, you know, here we are taught that prayer is powerful. And the greatest impact that you and I can have in someone's life is to pray for them. It's to pray for them. So he thanked God for the help that he got from the Christians in Philippi. And they contributed something, not just financially, but in all of their efforts in spreading God's message of love and power to so many who need Christ. You know, today as a church, we thank God for this time because as we honor our Lord Jesus and we consider Jesus as the head of this church. He is our shepherd. He's our guide. He has watched over us all throughout these years. And transitioning now to our 11th year, we know that He would guide us all throughout until the day He comes. We thank Him for His guidance, His provision, and not just financially, but sending so many of you to be part of us, to be part of this local church. Brethren who are committed, can I say the word committed? Committed to do the work Jesus has called us to do. See, what is commitment? How do we find commitment? We stick to it. We stick to it. We spend time. We sacrifice our time, even in our giving. You know, when we're sending all these things to Montalban and other places, you know, that's part of your contribution in your giving and even in your praying. Amen. So in behalf of the elders of this church, I thank God for your continuous support. Today, later on, all throughout the month of July, as what we've said earlier, we're going to celebrate our anniversary. But what we're going to do is this Sunday, we're going to honor those involved in the ministry in our small way of thanking God and acknowledging what you do for the work of God. Amen. But can I say this, that there's so much to be done. There is so much to be done. And know that nothing that's done for Christ is never wasted. Nothing. You might come in and you might just be opening the door for someone coming in. Some of you come early, you set up the chairs or whatever, you clean the house of God. Things that you do, never wasted. Because you know what? This is what church is all about. As a body of believers, we are committed to one another. We're here to pray for one another, encourage one another, help out each other. Amen. And use the gifts and skills that would contribute to the building up of God's church. So it's God Himself who started the good work, who started the work. Serving God is a good work. Let me say that again. Serving God in whatever capacity, in every capacity, is a good work. Amen. And you and I have this confidence in what we just read from God's Word and declares that the good work will carry on. Amen. The good work will carry on. And it is God himself who sees to it that that good work he started in you and me will be completed. Tatapusin ho ni Lord the good work he started in your life and mine. Amen. So the element of time is part of our spiritual growth. I will say this again. Because we are all impatient people. Is that true?
Yes.
Or just me?
No.
We're all impatient. We want things done right away. And so the process at times may take too long for our growth. But you know what? Aren't you and I just so thankful that God is long-suffering?
Yeah.
That he's a patient God?
Yeah.
At times he would tell us something, do this or don't do that, change your ways, change the way you conduct yourself. And it's like, you know, some people would say, oh, this is how I am. Ganito ako magsalita, ano? Who cares? No, we should care. If what we do would stumble someone, shouldn't we care? Yes, we should. If the way I talk would hurt you, then I should like adjust the way I talk. Because that's part of our growth. That's part of our growth. And it's to our loss. It's to our loss when the correction will come, because the correction or rebuke comes in many ways. It can come through the Word of God while you and I are reading the Word of God by ourselves. We can get corrected through a brother or sister, and it's like, we are not supposed to say, who are you to tell me that? God can use anyone. If God used Nathan for King David, God can use anyone to correct, even for those who are in leadership position. Hallelujah. So the element of time is part of our spiritual growth. So give God time. Give God time on what he's working out in your life. Let's give God time in what he's working out in us, through us as a church. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. So only through the power of the Holy Spirit can we develop to be like Christ in character and having the attitude. Here's, when we say hearts, nandyan po ang attitude, the attitude of the heart. The attitude of saying focused in doing the will of God. Do we need help from God regarding that area? Oh, yes. We all do, because there's so many distractions in our lives today. So many distractions. The Apostle Paul used his time to share Jesus to others. In fact, he shared the gospel. He did not waste his time, even when he was in jail. He did not waste his time, to focus on the negatives. Woe is me. Nasa jail ako. I'm serving God. Kawawa naman ako. Ito ba na pala ako? I'm serving you, God? No, he didn't have that kind of attitude. He had faith that whatever is happening in his life, whether in prison or outside, that God is going to turn it around for good. It takes faith for us to say that. It takes faith. It takes faith for us to see what we see in the natural and see the good thing that God is doing. You know, yesterday I had that blessed time with my niece, Angela. I consider that blessed, because that's so rare that we could spend time together. And we would have talks about how I heard it from her personally, and this is glory to God. And, she had to come along with me because I need help because of my physical limitations, and I needed to buy a new pair of shoes. And I thank God for her because, she was very resourceful. She knew what to do and all that. But, I thank God that, let me tell you this. There would be ways in how you and I would lead our lives that would impact others. And from her own lips, and she told me that, Tita, she calls me Tita. It's like, I see the strength of God in your life in spite of your physical limitations. And see, when people see you still passionate for Christ in spite of, because it was a moment wherein I reminded her of the good things that the Lord did, how God turned around for good everything that happened to me, the past 2 years. We might question. There might be a moment wherein we question God. Lord, why did you allow me to get sick? Why did you allow Pastor Lou to die? Lord, he wanted to serve you more. But yet, when you and I are focused on what his purpose is, His purpose in life, in your life and mine, then we begin to see things clearly. And our what makes it clear is the work of the Holy Spirit when you and I, we're reading God's Word. You and I need the Holy Spirit. Some might find it boring. For people who find it boring, they need the Spirit of God. Because when the Spirit of God is working, when you and I are reading, or just in a Bible study like this, wow, it's like something comes alive. At times we need just one verse at times. Just one verse. And God has a purpose why that particular verse was magnified right at that moment. Right at that moment. So, the Apostle Paul used his time to share Jesus to others. So, we need to make use of our time to share Jesus to others. Amen. Others have maintained this attitude as far as, because considering life is too short for us to remain stressed out. Life is too short for us to stay depressed. We need to learn and apply the principles that the Apostle Paul learned in his life as a follower of Christ. So the Apostle Paul learned to allow God to make use of every adversity or every problem that came his way to develop eternal values. When he said, as we are getting close to the end of the message, when the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 21, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For those without Christ, for those who don't believe in Him, life is just the here and now. Life is just about money. Life is just about fame, power, and pleasure. But for Paul, his life's purpose was to know Christ more and to serve Jesus all the days of his life. And Paul learned his purpose in life. You know, as we end, I would just like to mention this. Pastor Lou left a legacy. All throughout these years that he has been in partnership with us as a church. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, he sent me an email. Even while in his condition, stricken with cancer spreading all throughout his body, he sent me an email. And he said, Pastor Monette, if it's okay, when we come there on July 7, I'd like to have a raffle. He said, I'm going to have a raffle to bless whoever would be picked. I would like to bless them with 1 week stay in their timeshare in Palm Springs. His heart is always to bless. His heart is always to think of others. You know, he was already in his sick bed. And he was even making plans because he knows that a lot of people would want to be part of the Israel trip. He was planning about all of these things. He is someone whose heart and passion is to serve Christ. He knew that he's serving Christ when he's serving others. We're going to miss him. I'm going to miss him. We're going to pray for the family, more so Pastor Aida. And the two sons, they're just beginning. They're just like taking their baby steps towards Christianity. They're beginning to know more about Christ. And we have to pray for them that, you know, the enemy at times, vulnerable moments like this, the enemy would start to throw fiery darts. And probably at times, you know, my dad was serving God. Why did this happen? But we know that God has a higher purpose in everything. We have to believe that. I'd like to call on Brother Rowell because when I shared with him the news, and then he shared something when he was reading the Word of God today. Brother Rowell, please come forward. Let's just sit down.
We were praying this morning, me and my wife, and we were reading this verse in Psalm 116, verse 15. we read the entire chapter. But it says in verse 15 that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Precious, that means it is dear to the Lord.
That's right.
It is very dear to the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for reminding us from that particular verse read by Brother Roel. Precious in your sight, Lord God, is the death of your saints. It speaks volumes as far as what your heart is all about, what your heart is for us, that you want us to be with you for all eternity. Today we were all reminded that there's a time for everything, God. A time to be born and a time to die. When that appointed time comes in anyone's life, like what happened to Pastor Lou early this morning, God, that was your time for your servant, God. Lord, we thank you that you're the God who understands grief and sorrow when that comes in the hearts of those who loses a loved one. We remember Pastor Ayida, God, that your comfort be upon her and the whole family, the two sons, their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, God. We thank you, Lord God, for the legacy that Pastor Lou has left in our midst. He lived a life, Lord God, loving you, Jesus. He lived a life, God, so focused in his heart. His passion was to tell Jesus, to tell others about Christ, even in the jungles of Amazon, even in a hot place where there's no air condition, when it would require sacrifice on his part, God, until the end, his heart was for God's people. We thank you for the years that you have blessed us as a church that he was in partnership with us. We thank you for the many lessons that he has imparted to all of us, even to our men, to love Jesus the way he did, to love his family the way he did. Lord, we thank you, God, that, Lord, your word promises that, God, in all of our troubles, you comfort us. And we thank you for the comfort that's upon Pastor Ayida and the whole family and to the church, their church in Orange County, and to us as a church, because they're a valuable part of us. We thank you for the promise of the gift of eternal life, that now he is no longer in pain, that he is with you, Lord God, in the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. That's why it's precious before your sight when someone passes on to eternity, God. In our prayers that, Lord, that the legacy that he has left in our midst, may he be our example, God, that no matter what, Lord, we will stay focused on you. That till the end, he wanted to serve others, God, and to bless others. May that same attitude be in our hearts, God, in Jesus' name. And so, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that as a church, we can say thank you, Lord God, for the time you've given us to be with Pastor Lou. And Lord, we honor you, God. We honor you because you're the God that we serve, Lord. And the good work you've started in all of us, God, you promise that, Lord, you will see to it that the good work is completed. Amen. Completed in our lives, completed as a church, Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord, when your word says we have to seize time, the opportunity given to any one of us to make things right with you, and this is a day that you have given, Lord God, for us to be reminded about a precious gift that you're giving to all. But it takes the heart of that person to receive it wholeheartedly, not to reject the precious gift of eternal life by putting our faith and our trust in Jesus, your Son. And so, Lord, this day, we thank you that you know everyone's heart gathered this afternoon. That, Lord God, you have given us this precious moment and time for us to make things right with you. And if you're that person and you know that God is speaking to your heart so clearly, God is giving you this opportunity to receive Christ, His Son, to commit your life to Jesus. Some of you might come to church Sunday after Sunday and just sit in one of those blue chairs or orange chairs in the fellowship. But if you have never made that decision, let this be the day for you. Again, what He's offering is not being part of a religious organization. It's having a relationship with Christ and to know God the Father as our Heavenly Father. So if you're that person, just lift up your hand to the Lord today. Just lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. This is a moment that God has given you. You've never made that decision. This is a time. This is a time. And so, is it safe to say that you know deep down in your heart that you know where you're headed? When that time comes, when that time comes for any one of us. Lord Jesus, we thank You, God, for this time You've given us. And we honor You, Holy Spirit, for it is You who works in all of our hearts. When it's about eternity, we should never be embarrassed about it, God. You're offering each one of us a precious gift, God, because we don't hold time in our hands. And I pray for what has been shared to everyone gathered today, that You continually speak to their hearts, God. And Lord, we would like to take this opportunity to say a prayer of thanksgiving. Let's do that right now. In your own words, begin to thank God. Let's begin to thank God. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. Thank You, Lord, for being patient with all of us. Even at this moment, You're waiting for someone or some people to make that decision to commit their lives to Jesus, Your Son. And so, Lord, we come to You, God, and we thank You for the message of the gospel, that because all of us have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory, we are all spiritually dead and need a spiritual rebirth. We need to be born again. And that step, the step that one needs to take is to make that decision to accept Christ, to accept the finished work of the cross, and to know that our sins have been forgiven because of His blood that He shed on that cross. So if you're that person and you feel that tug in your heart, just say this prayer and mean it from your heart. Lord Jesus, I come to You. Just as I am as a sinner, I have fallen short because of my sins. And so, Lord, I come to You in need of Your salvation. I ask for Your forgiveness, God. Forgive me for all of my sins. Thank You for the most precious blood that Jesus shed on that cross, that I can have the forgiveness of all of my sins. So today, from this day on, guide me with Your Holy Spirit. I need You, Jesus. I need Your Holy Spirit. Give me hunger for Your word. Help me to make use of my time wisely from this day on. In Your name, I pray. Jesus, I pray. And if you're someone who has known the Lord for quite a while, we need discernment and we need wisdom from God that we may make use of our time wisely. So, Lord, we come to You, God, and we thank You, Lord, for reminding us that, Lord, because life is short, when You are calling us to serve You, God, that we should not procrastinate and delay. May the same passion that was upon the Apostle Paul, that he was a man changed forever because of his encounter with Christ. Most of us have moments, we had a defining moment like that, God. And forgive us if we have forgotten, Lord God, that Lord, that the time is precious, God. Time is a gift from You, that we should learn how to make use of our time wisely. Time spent with You, time spent in prayer, time spent in reading the Word of God. Forgive us, Lord, if we have lost our priorities, God. We have not made use of our time wisely as Christians, God. And our prayer for all of us, including myself, God, is that, Lord, through the work of Your Holy Spirit, guide us, God. May we not waste our time, God, in things that have no value in the light of eternity, God. Keep us, O God, from the things of this world that are worthless before Your sight, Lord. Give us wisdom, we pray. And we ask, God, even the urgency for us to make use of our time in not just praying for others, but sharing the gospel to so many who need Jesus, God. And so, Lord, today as we celebrate your faithfulness upon us as a church, we thank you for this time that you have given us, oh God, that we can honor you and thank you for your goodness, for watching over us, shepherding us as a church, God, and providing for our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'd like to call on the praise and worship team. Everyone involved in the praise and worship team, please come forward. We would like to thank you and pray for you. Amen. Come forward. Everyone involved in the praise and worship. Thank you, Lord. You know, when we started as a church, it was just, most of the time it was just Sister Janet playing the guitar and even leading. But look at that now. We have, the Lord has done some expansion in this ministry, and we're thankful to the Lord for this group that said yes to Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, everyone here already? Let's give a clap offering to God for them. In behalf of the church, we would like to thank you all. Thank you all for your faithfulness and commitment. Know that your ministry is so precious because you usher us as a church into the presence of God. You spend time praying and practicing. Everyone's enjoying their lunch or still here. doing, you know, the practice and all. But know that what you do for the church is precious and valuable. Amen. And so we would like to thank you for your what you contribute to the church in all of your effort and time. Amen. And so we would like to pray for them and ask God's anointing upon them. Hallelujah. And God's enabling power that they will continue to do what God has called them to do. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We bless your holy name. Lord, you're worthy, O God. And we realize that, God, you're teaching all of us how your presence in our lives is so important, God. And that how praising you is part of our lives as a church. We thank you for raising up this group, Lord God. We thank you for their personal encounter with Christ. That was part of your grand plan, Lord. And now they're there seeing that now they belong to this local church. And to realize that what they do, Lord God, is so valuable for us as a people of God. Sunday after Sunday, or even Wednesday nights and Friday prayer meetings, God, you use them, Lord God, to usher us into your presence. We thank you for the anointing and the giftings and skills that you have blessed them with. And above all, the heart, a servant's heart. Because serving you at times would require sacrifice. And may they always remember, God, through the work of your Spirit, that what they do is never in vain. What they do, Lord, counts in the light of eternity, God. And Lord, as a church, God, we ask that your double portion of anointing flow upon them. The same Spirit that was upon David when he would play skillfully and sing songs to you. Evil spirits flee in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for giving them a new song in their hearts. That, Lord, oh God, in Jesus' name, may you encourage them when discouragement comes. And Holy Spirit, we honor you because you're our teacher and our guide. As they pursue excellence in their serving you, God, we thank you, Lord, that you will guide them every step of the way. Father, we thank you for the unity of the group. You've caused them, Lord God, to sincerely look after each other, Lord God. In prayer, in admonition, in difficult times, how we will pray for one another. They will pray for one another and encourage one another, God. And may their lives be a good example to their own families and to the church, God, and even outside the church, Lord. And so, Lord, today, thank you, God. Thank you for touching their lives, God, and blessing them abundantly, Lord God. Let their lives, Lord God, be your vessels of honor. Their lives, Lord God, they would always tell you, Lord Jesus, I'm here, always ready for the Master's use. Glory to God. And so, Lord, we thank you for their lives, oh God. And we thank you for this time that as a church, God, as we usher into the following weeks, God, you know what lies ahead, Lord. And we thank you above all, God, for your faithfulness upon us as a church. Thank you for touching everyone gathered today. And the remainder of this time, a time of fellowship, partaking meals together, God, let your presence be in our midst and just talk about your goodness and love for us. Thank you for blessing even our children, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.
Praise God. Before we worship the Lord again and praise Him, I just want to share this